So let's start with the Torah study today. And can we show the first slide? This is the very old picture, Kodak from the thousands of years ago, from the Torah portion Shlach. So let's open together. I'm sorry, do you believe me? I'm joking. This is not picture, it's something else. So chapter 13, Numbers, and we will read today a lot of story, and I want to bring this, remind us this picture of picture and story about 12 spies who went into the land of Canaan and who came back with the report about this land. So today's Torah portion, Shlach, this is the chapters 13 till 15, Numbers. And this is actually a good picture because it was the land with the honey and milk in it, promised land for the Jewish people. So I want to read, and I will read today a lot from this story, so we will have picture together. From verse 1, chapter 13, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Send some men on your behalf to investigate the land of Canaan, which I am giving to Bnei Israel. Each man you are to send will be a prince of the tribe of his fathers." Please remember it, prince of the tribe of his fathers, because we will return to it. "A man from each tribe." So according to the word of Adonai, Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All the men were princes of Bnei Israel. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. And we will speak about Caleb later today, because I want to remind who he was. We will speak about his life. So let's go later from verse 26. We'll skip from 6 to 26. "They traveled and returned to Moses, Aaron, and the entire community of Bnei Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They gave their report to them and the entire assembly. They showed the land's fruit. They gave their account to him and said, 'We went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it's flowing with milk and honey. This is some of its fruit.'" So you can see the picture. Great fruits. "Except the people living in the land are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large." As I joke yesterday, almost like Jacksonville. "We even saw the sons of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites are living in the mountains. And the Canaanites are living near the sea and along the bank of the Jordan. The Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should definitely go up and capture the land, for we can certainly do it.' But the man who had gone up with him said, 'We cannot attack these people because they are stronger than we. They spread among Bnei Israel a bad report about the land they had explored, saying, "The land through which we passed to explore devours its residents. All the people we saw there are men of great size. We also saw there the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are from the Nephilim. We seems like grasshoppers in our eyes as well as theirs.'" And verse chapter 14. "All through that night, the entire community raised up their voices. The people wept." So can you imagine? Scripture says all entire community, 2 million people, close to 2 million people, wept all night, crying and wept and everything. It was probably a lot of humidity there. So verse 2. "All Bnei Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole community said, 'If only we had died in Egypt. If only we had died in this wilderness. Why is Adonai bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be like plunder. wouldn't be better for us to return to Egypt? So they say to each other, let's choose a leader and let's go back to Egypt. It's, of course, first response from them. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the entire assembly of the community of Bnei Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes. They say to the whole assembly of Bnei Israel, the land through which we passed is an exceptionally good land. If Adonai is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, and we will give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against Adonai, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They will be food for us. The protection over them is gone. Adonai is with us. Do not fear them. But the whole assembly talked about violently stoning them. Then the glory of Adonai appeared at the tent of meeting to all Bnei Israel. What is story here? I especially read all this story because we need to see the picture. What's happened here? This is the great lesson about unfaithfulness, disobedience, and rebellion. Also, this is the great lesson about faithfulness, obedience, and humbleness. In the same time, in the same moment, the same chapter. Can you imagine? They almost killed Moses, Joshua, Ben-Nun, and Caleb. Why? You will ask me. Because they are guilty, of course. Somebody should be guilty. Usually, we don't like to judge ourselves, usually. We like to see from the different perspective in our life. The same there. So they found guilty people. It was Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Very simple solution. Kill them and go back to Egypt. But can you see here? Only the Lord stopped them from doing it. The glory of the Lord interrupted their action. It was the serious thing. It was not a fun time for Caleb, for Joshua, for Moses. It was serious. Few millions people wants to kill three people. It was serious. All people of Israel were filled with faithlessness, fear, anger, and only three people, remained full of faith and were willing to die for their belief and trust into the Lord. So it was not a joke, it was serious there. They were willing to die for belief because they obeyed to the Lord. Why there? Because Joshua and Caleb were filled with a different spirit. Let's say together, different spirit. Numbers 14, verse 24. However, my servant Caleb, because a different spirit is with him, and he is wholeheartedly behind me. Let's say together, different spirit. Spirit of the Lord with them. The different spirit. They were different from the rest of Israel. I found it very interesting for me personally. 12 people go together. 10 people decide to go to Egypt. 2 decide to go and win the land. They saw everything together. They were together. But what a different report. What a different point of view. It's like day and night. I remember a story. It's not from my notes, but a story. When one of the shoe company decided to open something in Africa, and they sent one representative to Africa, and he wrote back, so we will not have success here. They're not wearing the shoes here. So they sent other. So he wrote back, start immediately. Nobody has nothing shoes. They don't have shoes here. So 2 people, different perspective of things. So 2 people were full with the faith. They look at everything with God's eyes. They had different perspective on everything. But rest of Israel, they saw, can we see that different, like, oh, beautiful picture. This is not grasshopper, but it will give you some things. I found different pictures, but I don't want to show here because this is better. So they were sure that there are, thank you so much, you can switch to other. It's enough grasshoppers for us. So they were sure that there are grasshoppers. They were sure. They looked at these people as their grasshoppers, but they were sure that these people see them the same way. I remember the words of Yeshua in Luke chapter 11, verse 34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's sick, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, watch out that the light in you is not darkness. Wonderful teaching from Yeshua. And I believe Yeshua doesn't speak about color of our eyes. What do you think? He doesn't say if you have brown eyes, you have problems. You have darkness. Or he don't say if you have wrong problems with your eyes, it's problem for you. He speaks about spiritual eyes of our life. He speaks about spiritual blindness and about wrong spiritual vision, wrong view on the life around us. He teaches us about perspective of our vision, how we see our life, what is in front of us, what is the source of our judgments or conclusions, how we see the people around us, circumstances, situations, everything. And I believe, and I think it's important to understand, to see with the eyes of faith or faithlessness, this is our decision. He gave us Holy Spirit, He gave us salvation, He gave us mercy, He gave us everything, Word of God. And do you remember this, Lord speaks to us that through Psalms, that the Word of the Lord is the lamp for our ways, our steps. But the decision how to see on the people and from what perspective, it's our decision. And I believe and I understand this is not easy to take, and also it takes a lot of time and prayers. And I believe this is the fight of all our life. We need to work in our mindset. We need to work in our hearts. We need to pray. We need to not give up, because it's easy to be in hopelessness. It's easy to be in fear. It's easy to be in criticism. We have one saying in Russian language, fear has big eyes. Indeed, it's true. I remember when Rabbi David says once that we are masters of fear, or, you know, this thing. It's easy to get into fear. It's easy to get into hopelessness. But Yeshua taught us how to look with faith, how to see the people around us and circumstances around us with faith. So let's go back into the Torah portion and look at who were these 12 spies. So first of all, they were princes of Bnei Israel, heads of their tribes. You know, it's funny for me. It were not people from the street, you know. Somebody walking in the street of camp, and Moses stood before them and says, guys, are you walking here? Go to the promised land. Search for me. You know, you have time. You don't have to do anything. So go. It was the people, they were heads of the tribes, high position in the Israel. Also, they had great responsibility upon them for their tribes. Please think about it. I don't think they were bad people or full of some darkness, or, you know, they were high position people in the authority who had responsibility, who thought about their tribes, women, children. From Moses, they had responsibility to go and also to look the land and to bring the report. It was given to them to do it. I believe, it's my thought, I think their thought for themselves that they are doing wisely and everything cautiously. So they looked from the perspective of fear, and they thought about themselves that they are doing wisely, these 10 people. Careful, wise, cautious, it's problems there. But something wrong happened in their hearts. Their judgment was wrong, completely wrong, before the Lord. They were wrong with heart and with their wisdom. And also, I want to tell you one very important thing. We can't live by our wisdom. Do you notice it or not? Man's wisdom is great, but it fails. It fails. We need to have wisdom. And Scripture says Yeshua is our wisdom. Yeshua is our wisdom. So something happened in their hearts. So what's happened in their hearts? First of all, they forgot. I call it spiritual amnesia. Amnesia, it's partial or total loss of memory. They forgot something so important in their life. They forgot everything, who they are, the reason of their creation even, the purpose and the goal upon them. They were the priests for the nations of the world, priests of the Lord. They had calling on their life, go into the promised land and possess it. When the Lord split the Red Sea, it has purpose. It was not the time of bath or shower. It was time of purpose. It was not zoo or something, you know. Let's go to zoo and look the fish. It was purposely. Go straight through these waters. Look at the miracle that God done for you. Why? Because you will enter the land. And remember the miracles from before. So you will have faith to obey the Lord and to go and to keep and to fight for the Lord. But these 10 people there forget about it. Forgot completely. Something happened with them. And only 2 people remember it. Joshua and Caleb. And this is why they look at and everything from the God's perspective. I believe the sea was fresh for them. Experience of the sea. 10 plagues, it was fresh for them. They remembered the Lord, His presence. And if you remember, before in the chapter, before we read about it, the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit from the Moses, came upon 70 people and the elders, plus 2 in the camp, 72. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit, presence of the Lord. But what's happened with the rest of the people? Only 2 people remained in the Spirit of the Lord. 70 forgot about it. Something happened with their mind. Rest of the Israelites forget who they are and where they go. And this is the serious example for the nations of the world and also example for every one of us. Do not forget, remember who we are, what is our calling, where we're going, who is with us, and what purpose we have in our life. First purpose. Why the miracles happen in our life? Why? What is it? Look around what's happened here in the world today. The humanity is going, it's getting crazy more and more. They're going into the end. It's like people don't see the way where they're going. It's like going to highway with the high speed towards the end. And why it's happened here? I think, and I believe, because it's the same reason. First of all, spiritual amnesia in this world. People forgot who is their creator, and they lost their vision for their life, purpose for their life. This is why people begin to come with some ideas about creation, everything. Because of lack of vision, it came to lack of faith, faithlessness. Faithlessness produced the fear. It's always, you know, fear is substantial for faith. It has almost the same quality. Faith looking forward, and it's faith, it believes, it's moving you. Fear also looks somewhere, usually in the back. And also it's going, it's pushing you somewhere. It's giving you assurance. Sometimes people are sure that something happened with them when nothing happened. It's almost faith, but opposite of faith. Fear leads to rebellion. Somebody should be guilty. What do you think? Usually it's not us, somebody else. Rebellion leads to violence. Do you see this picture here in the chapter 14? Lack of vision, lack of faith, rebellion, fear, rebellion, and violence. And violence leads to destruction. Only the presence of the Lord stopped them from destruction. Can you imagine what would happen if they would kill Moses and Caleb and Joshua ben Nun? Finished with Israel. The presence of the Lord, mercy of the Lord, stopped us in our ways. It's great. It's great for me. So, but Joshua and Caleb, they were filled with a different spirit, different vision. They were filled with vision from the Lord, with faith. When they entered the promised land, they were full of faith. Can you imagine? 10 people full of fear, wisdom of man. They look at the problems. Okay, he's too big for me. I will not win him. Problem is there. Difficulties there. We will not make it. We will not make this. Let's go back to Egypt. It's very heavy. We were slaves, but we know how to be slaves. At least we know this job. But two of these people, Joshua and Caleb, they were with faith. They look at the same situations with eyes of faith. Certainly we will do it. Certainly we will win. So important to remember. It reminds me of the words of Yeshua. Matthew chapter 17, verse 17. Very easy to remember. 17:17 Matthew. Yeshua answered, "Perverted people without any trust. How long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you?" And this is the words to his Talmidim, to his followers. Because they faced with the problem, and again, what's happened with us? We can't do this. It's impossible for us. You remember in the boat, in the Galilee Sea, the wind, the weather. And who is guilty? Yeshua is guilty. Why are you sleeping? You don't care about us. You want us to die. Easy. And again, he's speaking about situation. He speaks, have faith. So every one of us needs faith. Let's say together, I need faith. Not religious agreements, but living, breathing faith. I call it breathing faith. Check yourself. Faith should breathe inside of you. Faith that inspires us to pray, to sacrifice, to serve the Lord and to love others, to be faithful. If no faith, no reason to serve the Lord. Why should I go to the synagogue if I don't have faith? I don't know. I have no answer for you. Probably you should not if you don't have faith. If you have faith, you should, because it's faith pushing you there. Why you should minister to the Lord? It's your answer. You should answer for yourself. If you have faith, if you have fire, you will do it because it's in you. It's part of your life. The Holy Spirit inside of you, He is leading you somewhere. And this is place of the ministry. This is place of sacrifice. This is place of love. Nobody will tell you what to do or do something. It's up to you and the Lord. It's very important to remember. So everyone, we need faith and we need to have life relationship with the Lord. And I want to look very briefly in the life of Caleb. Sorry. First of all, if you noticed from the scriptures, Caleb, he was the prince from the tribe of Judah. So head of the Judah. But do you find that he was not a Jew in the scriptures? I want to show you. Numbers 32, verse 12. "Except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite." Who he was? Kenizzite. Joshua chapter 14. You can find it. You will find it in the scriptures. The children of Judah approached Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to them, give me this mountain. Head of tribe of Judah, Kenizzite. Can you imagine? Scripture call him Caleb the Kenizzite. And, you know, the scripture doesn't call him Caleb, former Kenizzite. Caleb, in the past, he was Kenizzite. Or scriptures clearly told him, Caleb the Kenizzite. And if you will read the Genesis chapter 15, you can mark it. From verse 18, the Lord promised to Abraham to give the land, one of the tribes of this land, Kenizzites. So Caleb was ahead of the tribe of Judah, who led the tribe of Judah to fight for the land, and one of the part of this land he should take from Kenizzite. Can you imagine this part? So by faith, what's happened with him? Why the Lord called him? Why he had such position in the Israel? Why he was part of Israelites so deeply, so rooted in the life of Israel? He is part of Israel forever. Why? What's happened with him? What was wrong with him, or right with him? He was filled with the spirit of faith. And he put all his life into Israel. He bind his life, his future, his everything with the life of Israel. I remember Ruth Moabite. Remember the story of Ruth Moabite? If you remember, in the Torah it says there, no Moabite could be part of Israel. It was forbidden for Moabites to be the part of Israel. But Ruth, she is the grandmother of King David. So he would have problem with Jewishness today, according to rabbinical Judaism. What makes difference in her life, in his life? How many people from different nations became to be part of Israel? By what? I don't think it's Giur. I think it's faith. They were part of the promised blessings. They were part of the great gifts from the Lord because of their faith, their decisions, their choice. They made the choice. What a great lesson for us. I want to give this lesson. First of all, please don't try to be somebody else. If you are Jew, remain Jew. If you are not a Jew, I want to tell you, this is not the sickness and not a curse. It's okay with you. Because the Lord loves you so much as he loves Moses, Abraham, and he wants to have fellowship with you through faith. Look at this point from this point of view. He looks in your heart, and he looks for your faith. This is why you could be free and enjoy. I want to read from the scriptures about, from the teaching of Yeshua about it, because Yeshua had a great teaching about this, the same topic. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. I like when I can find something in the Brit HaChadasha, because Yeshua, he is the Lord, he is the Savior, and he is the great rabbi. He is my rabbi. Biggest rabbi in our life. On hearing this, Yeshua, it's about the story about one of the officers in the Roman army. And you need to know that Romans, they were occupants on the Israel land. Israelites hates Romans in that moment, hates. And especially warriors and officers. It was people of second class for them, enemies. So Yeshua speaks about enemies, about Roman soldier, officer. He speaks about this man who showed the faith into the God of Israel and to the Yeshua. And he speaks about this man. On hearing this, Yeshua was amazed and said to the people following him, yes, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such trust. Moreover, I tell you that many will come from the east and from the west to take their places at the feast in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I want to be careful here. I don't teach about replacement theory here. Be careful. They will sit with Abraham, not Abraham with them. Don't switch situations. All the nations of the world, they are included in the new covenant through the Jewish people. And because of Jewish people, the blessings from the Jewish people came upon all the world. And this is tragedy, because tragedy of spiritual amnesia, because the nations, sometimes they completely don't want to hear anything about it. They forgot about Jewishness of their faith. Because the Messiah of Israel, the Messiah for all the nations, the same Messiah. And he is the Jewish Messiah. So Caleb joined himself with the Jewish people. He became to be part of Jewish people through faith, through different spirit. The Lord looks it in our hearts. So I have few more things, but I don't want to stop here because I believe it's enough for us. I want to just read from Hebrews chapter 3, and I want to remind us that Yeshua, he is our beginning and the end. He is master of our faith. He is enough for us. Faith in him made us different. This is what we should look for, pray for, have fire for the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3, and I want to read a few verses, and we will end it here. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partners in the heavenly calling, take notice of Yeshua, the emissary and Kohen Gadol we affirm. He is emissary, he is apostle, he is first of our faith. And he is Kohen Gadol, high priest of our faith. He has all the answers. He has all the blessings. He is our way, and truth, and everything for us. But Messiah, verse 6, but Messiah's son is over God's house, and we are his house. Please think about it. The congregation of believers, this is not the man handmade by man. He is over us because we are his congregation. And scripture says, why I'm so serious about coming to the services and being here? Because scripture tells us, when two or three of you together, I'm with you. And not together in the bar drinking beer. Together in my name, I'm with them. This is what serious it is. People come into the services, they're receiving the blessings, change their life, healings, everything. Verse 12. Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you has an evil heart of unbelief that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day by day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened in the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partners of Messiah if we hold our original conviction firm until the end. Amen. So I want to close with a prayer, and I want to invite every one of you, if you are not part of body of Messiah, if you're not believer yet, if you're a religious, good person, if you are the best person in the world, but without Messiah, without Yeshua, without life, I want to invite you to accept him in your life. I want to invite you to join with him. I want to pray with you. If you want a prayer, if you want a forgiveness of your sins and be with the Lord, please pray with me with all your heart. I want to pray. Lord, thank you so much for wonderful time, for wonderful opportunity to be here. Father, I come to you through Yeshua the Messiah. And I ask you, forgive me for all my sins and cleanse me, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. I accept Yeshua as my Lord and Savior and thank you for your mercy and for your grace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So let's close our service with the prayer. And let's stand up. Please find somebody. Not be alone. Let's pray. Yivarechecha Adonai veishmerecha Yahel Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Isa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha Shalom. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Please take your